Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror. Yes, I finally read another horror novel, so we're going to talk about it. So, Amy Cross, this was a name that I actually had not encountered before in the realm of horror fiction, I guess. But I started doing some research into her work, and I'm kind of surprised that I hadn't heard of her before now, because I mean, it looks like she's written a metric shit ton of books, most of them being like paranormal horror, like ghost stories, stuff like that. I think she's written some fantasy as well. She's a British writer. It also looks as though she has, you know, I don't know how interrelated these are, but it looks like she has a couple of different series like going on at the same time. And the books seem to be very well reviewed and very popular. Like a lot of people seem to read them. So the particular book of hers I read, which, as with a lot of the books that I review for this show, I just kind of chose it at random because it was free on Kindle Unlimited, and it had a title that sort of reminded me of a novel project, at least the working title of the novel project that I've been working on for the past year or so. But I don't think this particular book is part of any of her previous series, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure it's like a standalone. So this came out in, I think, August of 2022, so it's fairly recent. Now, I have to say right up front that I had kind of an odd experience with this book, and it's going to be kind of difficult for me to articulate, like, what, like, the weird thing that I had with this. In some ways, I almost feel like I didn't like it, I mean, it's sort of like, okay, so like the characters I found to be kind of thinly drawn and pretty universally unlikable. That's not usually a deal breaker. Like, I don't think all characters have to be likable, but in this case, I don't know. I just found a lot of them kind of like all of them pretty much annoying. And the story itself was kind of a little bit repetitive, like especially in the first two acts. But in spite of all that, like having said all that, I found that I still couldn't stop reading it. And it's like, so when I wasn't reading it and like I was, you know, at work or I was like, you know, kind of forced to do something else, I was often found myself like kind of like anxious to get back to it to like see what was going to happen. So it was like a really weird, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever read another book that had this kind of, because usually it's like I'm really into it or I'm just like, man, I'm not feeling this. This one was kind of like both things at once and it was like really confusing to me. It was like really, really weird. Like I had a compulsion to like keep reading it, but then I was like, I don't know. These people are just like pissing me off. And it's like, I don't know what it was. So I actually love the premise of this book. And the mystery of it just pulled me right in, like from the first paragraph. So I guess that was enough to get me like invested in the story, even though the characters, like I said, kind of pissed me off. And they didn't really come across to me as relatable or like real people in any way. I kind of feel like most of that maybe was something to do with, I don't know, like it, maybe it was kind of to do with like their attitudes or the way they were. But I think too, it was some like the dialogue. I didn't really like the dialogue all that much to me. And maybe this is just my perception of it, but it seemed like it sounded kind of like stilted a little bit or like unrealistic sounding. And I don't know if that's maybe just like a disconnect between the particularly British tone of voice, because the author is British, and, you know, me being American and having like a different, you know, cadence or like a different way of talking. But the thing about it is I read a lot of British authors and I don't usually have that issue. So I don't really know if it was just this particular writing style or the way that she writes dialogues that kind of like, I don't know, it just sounded very stilted to me, I guess. So at the beginning of the story, and this book is called The Ghost in Room 119, if I didn't mention it, we're actually following an English couple named Steve and Penny. Now they've just become engaged and they're on like a week's holiday, as they would say over there, in Barcelona. Americans would say vacation, in case you're not from here. So from a character point of view, I feel like Steve just comes across as just kind of your stereotypical, bland, blah, sort of asshole-y dude. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really have any quirks or he doesn't, like, seem particularly interesting. He's just, like, a guy. You know what I mean? So while they're on this vacation, he seems to just kind of, like, yes, dear his way through the whole thing. Also, though, I have to say he seems to have, and maybe that I could just be, this might be me reading into it, but he did seem to come across as, like, having a little bit of, like, some maybe barely concealed resentment toward his fiance and maybe toward women in general. I feel like maybe I'm, but I don't know. That was just kind of like the impression that I got from his character. So his fiance Penny, she comes across initially like as a little bit of kind of like a basic bitch, I guess. Like not exactly like a bridezilla, because you know what I mean? There she's worried about like, the wedding and everything like that. But she's kind of one of those sort of demanding, like high maintenance kind of chicks that dudes are always, kind of complaining about. It's like, man, she wants this and that and the other thing and women, blah, blah, blah. So she's kind of like that. She does actually, her character does kind of get better as the book goes on. Like she has a little bit of an arc and she becomes like a little bit less of like a blah or like a wet mop or whatever. But she's still not super compelling, like as a person. Like nobody in this really is exactly, at least like the two people like at the center of the story are not like super compelling. They're just kind of like average British people, you know what I mean? And they're just average middle class white people, and they're just kind of like kind of boring. So, I will say though that I was actually surprised, like as I was reading this, that a woman had written it, because the female character, the two main female characters in the story, like one of whom is Penny and one of whom I'll get to in a minute. But the way the characters were written, it almost kind of came across as like a male author writing what he perceived to be, oh, these are the two types of women. It's like, here's the demanding, rigid one that's like no fun and is always like bossing me around. And then here's the uber crazy one, you know what I mean? That's kind of hot, but also like insane, you know what I mean? So it just seemed like it was just two sides of that coin. So that's kind of how it came across. But that said, like the main character, Steve, he was no prize either. And at times, like as the story goes on, was actually straight up awful. Like you find out some shit about him later. But so I guess it all like evens out. So while they're on this week-long holiday, Penny is kind of planning out their vacation itinerary. Oh, we got to see this, that, and the other thing. Which, like I said, you're in Barcelona, you might as well like see the sights and stuff. But Steve is just kind of like, whatever, and he's not even really listening to her most of the time. So while all of that is going on, a very strange series of events begins to unfold. So while they're in the hotel restaurant, like not too long after arriving in Barcelona, Steve actually swears that he sees his ex-girlfriend Annabelle sitting at the bar. Weird thing though is that sometimes it definitely looks like her and like moves like her and everything like that, but then a minute later, like he looks back and it doesn't really look like her anymore, and Steve is wondering, how the fuck did I think that it was her in the first place? So he's a little bit freaked out by this, as you might imagine. Because Annabelle, as it turns out, was a certifiable nutcase. He dated her years before, I believe it was 10 years before, and they were together a while, but all his friends like hated her guts and was like, oh my God, you gotta get rid of her. They all just thought she was a complete lunatic. Now, eventually, like Steve kind of gathered up enough intestinal fortitude to dump her ass, and he hasn't really seen her or thought of her since then, or so you're led to believe at first. Some complications in that regard are introduced later on in the story. So Steve actually cannot imagine like why Annabelle would be in Barcelona of all places, if indeed this woman is her, which he's never entirely sure about. So if it is her, like, is it just a coincidence that she just happened there, or is she stalking him, or is there something even more bizarre going on? So, like, he goes to the restaurant, like, every time he's in the hotel, he sees her sitting at the bar, like, all the time, but it's driving him crazy because sometimes he swears it's her, and then other times he's like, how the fuck could I think it's clearly not her? You know what I mean? It doesn't even look like her. Now, it also turns out that Steve and Penny are staying in room 120, and this mystery woman that he keeps seeing is right next door in the titular room 119. Now, Steve starts hearing like some weird ass noises coming from that room next door, like scratching at the walls and like kind of ragged breathing, and sounds like somebody's like thumping around in there. And he actually gets kind of worried, so he goes over there to see what's going on. And the woman, answers the door, and it's clearly not Annabelle now, but still sort of like reminiscent of her. But she acts like nothing's wrong, even though he heard like all this fucked up shit like literally like a second ago. There's also the small matter of this light in the hallway, like outside of room 119, and it's just like constantly flickering. So, that should give you a hint of where the direction of this is kind of going in. So Steve is pretty wigged out by this whole entire situation, and that leads him to be even more checked out from Penny than he was previously. And since he doesn't tell Penny at first, like what's causing him to be so distracted and, cranky, Penny is getting a little bit annoyed at the way he's behaving, understandably so. Now, roughly about a third of the way through the story, maybe sooner, I can't really remember, something really drastic happens involving this woman in room 119, which I won't spoil. But it's so fucked up that Steve and Penny are just like, well, our whole entire holiday is gonna be ruined now because of this. So they try to get like past the trauma and salvage what's left of their time in Barcelona. But shortly after this horrific incident occurs, Steve starts to become convinced that another woman who actually works at the hotel, who is a Spanish bartender whose name is Estella, I think, or Estella, he starts to believe that she is actually Annabelle, even though Annabelle is obviously English, not Spanish, and a little bit older than this bartender woman is. Now, at this point, Steve has finally told Penny, like, what the situation is, like, what is going on. But of course, she just thinks he's losing his marbles. He does kind of, like, think that too, but you know what I mean? It's kind of that kind of thing. She thinks, though, that he's having some kind of, like, weird, like, obsessive and, like, super delayed reaction to, like, this really bad breakup that he had with Annabelle, like, a decade before. So that's what she thinks is going on. And he kind of goes back and forth on it because he's not really sure what's going on either. Separately, though, they're both kind of curious enough to like, so Steve and Penny each decide they're gonna do some investigation into this Annabelle thing. So to that end, they both separately, like I said, without telling the other, contact Steve's friend Jack, who's back in England, who knew Annabelle like back in the day, and it's like they want to figure out like what happened to Annabelle like after the breakup, like where'd she go? Is it possible she might be in Barcelona with ill intent? They just want to figure out like where she went, where she's living now, shit like that. Now, long story short, there are definitely some supernatural shenanigans afoot. And that's not really a spoiler because the word ghost is right there in the title. It's not a misnomer. But the story isn't quite as straightforward as it might seem, like at first blush. There are some interesting twists and turns, as it kind of winds its way toward the conclusion. I will so say, though, that one thing in the story that I found like kind of frustrating was that you, the reader, will figure out what's going on a long time before Steve and Penny figure it out. And while that admittedly happens in a lot of stories and is actually a pretty effective method for building tension when it's done right, here it just seemed like the pair of them, and particularly Steve, were just like complete idiots for like not figuring out what was very obviously going on, like right in front of their faces. Like, yes, what was going on involved the paranormal, so it was, ipso facto, like unbelievable. So there's going to be a bar to clear there, obviously. But as the story went on, it was so very clearly spelled out in universe what, that the situation was entirely supernatural and what was probably going on. But Steve was still going through all these really absurd, like, mental contortions. In order to deny the possibility that what was happening could actually be really happening. And then after a certain point, he was just getting so much like that that I just wanted to like slap him in the mouth and being like, duh, it's like, it's obvious what's going on. Yes, I know it's unbelievable, but come on, get on the fucking clue bus type of thing. Also, in the third act of the book, we actually do get some flashbacks, like where they kind of go into Steve and Annabelle's relationship, like what happened there. And we also get like numerous scenes from Annabelle's point of view. So we also find out what, through all of that, that Steve is even more of a shit than he had previously appeared. And like I said, he wasn't super likable from the get-go. Now, for a while, I thought that the author was setting all this up to make Annabelle seem more sympathetic or hint that we were actually given a mistaken impression of her because of Steve's biased portrayal, because we don't get introduced to Annabelle until like later on in the story. We only know about Annabelle like from other people like talking about what a fucking nut she was. So it's like I was kind of interested to see, it's like, oh, is it gonna be like a thing where, everyone's perception of her was incorrect or something like that. But that doesn't really happen. Like Annabelle, when you meet her, yeah, she had issues, and you could actually kind of have a smidge of empathy for her, like in that regard. But you know, when you get to know her, she turns out to be like such an over-the-top, insane, narcissistic douche that kind of any goodwill that you might have had built up for her, like, you know, that was engendered by Steve's like shitty treatment of her previously, was kind of just thrown right out the window. You know what I mean? So I don't know if Amy Cross was like trying to build up sympathy for Annabelle, because it's like it seemed like she was kind of trying to do that, but it just didn't really get there. You know what I mean? So, you know, as I said, nobody in this was really all that likable, like none of the three main characters. And even Penny, who was, you know, the most innocent, she was just kind of like an innocent bystander, and so, you know, consequently the least dickish of the three main characters, even she started to get on my nerves pretty much immediately. So, as I mentioned, I had kind of like an ambivalent, like, love-hate relationship with this book, like, as I was reading it. On the one hand, the mystery was really intriguing, and it got me hooked, like, right from the first page. I was like, ooh, because I was trying to figure out, oh man, like, is Annabelle really there in Barcelona? Like, is she stalking him? Is Steve suffering from like delusions? Is something more complicated going on? So it was, I was like really into it, you know, I was on board. On the other hand, though, the characters were all pretty grating, especially Steve. And honestly, I found myself not really caring if something bad happened to him. And at times even kind of hoping like he'd get fucking smacked around some, because he was just like, because he was like so annoying. And I didn't really care if anything bad happened to Penny either. And I didn't get a sense of them like being in love with each other as a couple, like, oh no, like Penny's in danger, or she's like, oh no, Steve's in danger. Like, I was like, why do these two like each other? I didn't really get it. So, because I was like, I don't like either one of them, but you know what I mean? I didn't get a sense of them as like a couple, you know what I'm saying? I kind of feel like maybe if Steve had been like more of a good guy, or at least like a more interesting guy, I think I would have been more maybe emotionally involved in his fate, and maybe like feared more for his safety as like shit started to hit the fan, like as the story went on. Alternately, I kind of thought this might have been a good idea too. The story could have left the characters as they were, just like being assholes or whatever, but then played with a sort of, and I thought it was going in this direction, but it didn't really. But I thought it was going to play with a sort of a like a he said, she said narrative, where Steve perceived Annabelle and their former relationship one way, but then it turned out that it wasn't really like that. Like, he had a delusional, or he had like a skewed view of it, and I thought that would have been a really good angle like to explore, but it didn't really do that like to any great degree, even though I thought that it was kind of like going in that direction. So, I mean, all that said, though, I actually still really did enjoy this book quite a bit. Like I said, I don't really know why, because like the characters got on my nerves so much, but then I was like, I just couldn't stop reading it. It was just like really, really weird. It was just a weird thing. I don't remember ever having this kind of like this kind of experience reading something like this before. So yeah, so I really did enjoy it, like despite all my kvetching about it. And I did get really invested in where the mystery was going. So plot-wise, obviously, it really struck a chord and like kept me on board with it. I just wish that the characters had been like a bit more dynamic or a bit more appealing, so I could have really gotten maybe more emotionally attached to the people in the story rather than just the puzzle, like at the center, because I really did like the kind of unspooling puzzle at the center of the plot, but it was just like the people that were kind of like annoying me like the whole time. Now, this book, I will say, does have a lot of positive reviews on Goodreads. I think it's at 3.62 or, you know, 3.82 or something like that. So that means that most readers clearly didn't have the same issues that I did with it. So I would still like not hesitate to recommend it to anybody who's into ghost stories, but ghost stories that have like a sort of unusual twist to them, because this is, it has some elements of like a classic ghost story, but it also like plays with those elements. So it's, you don't really know where it's gonna go initially, which I actually like really liked about it. Like, once you figure it out at the end, like in the third act, yeah, you figured it all out, and then it just kind of, you know, blows up from there. But it's like for a while, you're just kind of like, oh, well, there's several directions this could go, you know what I mean? You're not really sure if it's like, is it a ghost? Is it a traditional ghost? Is it like something else going on? Is somebody delusional? So I like that it kind of had that ambivalence going for a while. But yeah, if you like that kind of thing, then I would recommend it. But, and like I said, I enjoyed it, even though I think the characters were the main thing that let it down for me, but yet it's still, I still felt compelled to like read it all the time and finish it. I read it actually like really, really quickly. So you know, take of that what you will. I know it's like a weird thing. And like I said, it was a weird experience for me reading it, but you know. So that will do it for this Tomes of Terror book review. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please remember to like and subscribe if you haven't already. And I'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.